Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night. Fucked.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked. It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I am Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Ooh, ooh. Happy spring, everybody. Happy spring. It's great. It's getting warmer out, kind of, even though it did snow the other day.
That
but the
sucked.
Best thing about spring is...
Spring fever?
I was going to say having your titties out and then going
to
this.
Oh, sorry, shit. What's the best? Wait, ask me again.
What's the best part of spring?
Having your titties out.
Perfect. And a good thing to hold your titties in is a bra by Third Love.
Boobies.
Yes, Third Love is a sponsor of Guys We Fucked. They've been so amazing. A lot of people have been asking us about it. It's a great bra. Christina has a bunch of them. I have a bunch of them. You know what? I like they're just like no bullshit bras.
And they don't feel like 80 pounds
no.
holding my titties in. It's very comfortable
it's
and
just
lightweight.
Like, hey, we made this bra. And it fucking works and it looks cute and it's very simple. Third Love stands behind the product so much that they're willing to let our listeners try their bras for free for 30 days. If you love it, keep it and they'll charge your card. If you don't love it, send it back. You can include a nasty note. You'll still get your money back.
Like, fuck you, Third Love.
And your card will not be charged. And you can start your free trial today at thirdlove.com/GWF.
Oh, shit.
Boobies for life.
Hey, are you in New York City tonight?
Oh my God, I hope you are, because then you can come to Nacho Bitches at New York Comedy Club. It's East 24th Street at 2nd Avenue. Tickets are $10 when you scream Nacho in Emilio's face. He asked me specifically to say that. It's going to be such a fun show. I'm excited.
I love nachos. And I love bitches. So tomorrow, New York City, Wendy Starling and I co-host this whole monthly show called Glamour Puss. And it's happening tomorrow, 7:30 at Zinc Bar in the West Village. Ticket link for that is in the description of this podcast. You should come, because during the DC show, it was really cool. Thanks for everyone who came to that, by the way. We had a guy do push-ups on glass. I know. We always have one non-comedy act, and we want to be it to be as weird as fucking possible. And boy, was that one a good one.
I think you achieved it. Yeah.
And then also in Miami, Florida. I've never been inside you, but I really want to get tan and wear a hot green thong. Glamour Puss, this is one of our last like traveling shows that we're going to do. It's Friday, May 20th. No, that's not it. I'm reading the dates for the other show.
That's not
fucking,
what it is.
Fucking goddamn. You're so stupid, Christina. Saturday, April 30th, Miami, Florida. Wendy Starling and I are coming to your town. We're going to be doing Glamour Puss at the Flamingo Theater. Tickets for that should be in the description of this podcast. We have a special guest, no big deal. And it's going to be a fucking great time. I'm so excited for Miami.
And then on Friday, May 20th.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be in New York City doing Guys We Fucked live recording
live.
At the Bell House in Brooklyn as part of the New York Pod Fest. We never do this.
Nope.
Buy a ticket. It's going to be a huge event. A bunch of tickets have already sold out. It's 7 p.m. Get your ticket now. Gonna be hot.
It's gonna be last time you'll ever be able to see the podcast get recorded live, because we don't usually do that as much.
Yeah, when we say we don't do that, like, we're not fucking
around. We're not gonna do it. Yeah, it's the last time. Only for New York Pod Fest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also want to talk really quick about two people who listen to this podcast. Their names are Lila and
Jordan.
Lila's boyfriend, Jordan. For some reason I had a doubt that it was Justin.
No. Nope.
And I was gonna say Jordan.
It's Jordan.
And it's fucking Jordan.
It's okay. He tweeted me.
Yeah. So Lila and Jordan are two people who listen to this podcast. They are a couple. They're a long distance couple. And they came to New York Comedy Club to see her and I perform on a stand up show. And Lila told me that I was the one who emailed you about my brother. And I knew exactly what she was talking about, because we get a fuckload of emails. That one just kind of struck me, and we haven't read it on the podcast, but basically her younger brother was doing mushrooms with his friends in like a wooded area, and there was a lake, and he had a freak out. He just kind of went into a panic. No, I read it. It was mushrooms.
Oh,
I reread
really?
The email.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was accusatory towards me.
Oh, no.
Well, someone said, all right, this is a different thing. But someone said, like, don't do acid.
And then, yeah, but some people also like, do more acid. So right. whatever.
Just be careful with drugs.
He was on a trip and with his friends, and it did not end well. He ended up crashing through a lake that there was ice. He broke through the ice and he passed away. He died recently. And she has their family had set up a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for his funeral expenses and a bunch of various other expenses. So I was fortunate enough to be able to hang out with them for 4 hours at New York Comedy Club because I was waiting for this karaoke show to happen. And so I didn't realize it wasn't happening until midnight. So anyway, they're amazing people. They're listeners of this podcast. Please let's help them out and donate money to this. The GoFundMe link that I'm speaking of to donate money towards her family is in the description of this podcast. I'll put it on my social media as well. But please let's donate and help people out because that was such a tragic thing that happened. And why don't we all pull our resources together and help a bitch out?
That was good. Thank you. You looked so intense when you said that.
Yeah. I want to help a bitch out.
You're also sitting like a puppy.
Oh, really?
Like a puppy.
I feel like a puppy.
When a puppy tries to be human. All right. Well, I feel like now this just sounds narcissistic.
What, you talk about you?
Yeah.
I am so fucking great.
No, I'm not going to say that. I mean, that's just a given. this is interesting. So longtime listeners of the Guys We Fuck podcast know that I, Corinne Fisher, have been on a long-term quest. And that quest was to find myself with a penis. Okay? That quest has finally come to an end.
I was, okay.
Did you think I was telling you that I was going to transition?
Yeah. I'm like, can you fucking tell me that off air, please? That's going to change a lot of the trajectory of our careers. Photo shoots are fucking worthless now.
No, a separate person.
A person who's not
me
you.
Me as a man. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. I was like, you're a bitch for breaking that to me on this podcast.
Jesus. I love being a woman.
That's what I thought.
Or as much of a woman as I count as.
You are a full fledged woman.
You've seen it all. So lady fuckers, man fuckers, undecided fuckers, for the first time in Guys We Fucked history, this second half of your fearless leadership has taken on a boyfriend. It's happened. His name is James.
Oh, you're going to say his name.
We had a publicity meeting about it, and people present at that publicity meeting were me and James. And we just and I voted no name, and then he voted full name, and then I think we
because he wants to get Twitter followers.
We had that conversation, and then we settled on first name. It was nice. There was a lot of conversation. It was such a weird thing to do because I'm so used to sharing everything. Part of my personal life
on this podcast
because
you don't share any part of your personal life in anywhere else. Like,
no, and I've never, and I, it was so hard to deal with this. Like, we really did actually have to sit down and like talk about this and decide how to make an announcement. We decided to announce it on Facebook, which I've never done that.
Corinne Fisher is in a relationship with
Never done that. And I was like,
how did it feel? Were you scared? Were you nervous?
It was honestly easier because it took care of it without me having to have the conversation separately with everybody. Yeah. But it was so crazy because I've been single for so long. Like, the publicist at the spa that I work at called me and congratulated me today.
Oh my God.
I was like, you know, I did a TED talk, right?
Yeah. fuck that. Who Ted? I don't know who Ted is. I want to know who James is.
But so it's been just very weird, but good. And I feel like a baby fawn learning how to walk again.
Yeah.
But it's great because we're doing it together because I haven't been in a relationship in 4 years and he hasn't been in a relationship in 8 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And both of us basically stopped dating because we were very heartbroken by somebody.
Oh, you so are. He is common. You with a dick.
No, it's so weird. Like, well.
Does he also not want to crowd surf because he has no faith in humanity?
Probably. Well, it's like even like the simplest thing. Like I sent him this photo that I found on Instagram of a bunch of girls turning backwards with their butts sticking out.
Hell yeah.
And I go, which butt do you like the best? And it was a lot. There was a lot of different butts to choose from.
How many butts?
Like 10 butts.
Well, that's a lot of butts.
That's a lot of butts.
That's a lot of fucking butts.
And he chose the same butt.
Shut the fuck up.
And then I was like, this is meant to be.
Wow.
Yeah. We have, it's weird. We have to see everything. Like it just, it's,
that's amazing.
And, but it's, so it seems like, I know people are like, oh, you shouldn't be too similar, but at the same time.
You shouldn't be too what?
It's too similar. Some people are like against people being too similar, but also it's very easy for me to deal with it in some ways, because whenever I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's thinking, I'm like, oh, wait. Corinne, if you were in this situation, what would you be thinking?
Right.
And then that's what he's thinking.
That's wonderful. And there's no, like, there's no games.
But then sometimes when like the things that are frustrating about me, like I'm difficult to talk to and stuff like that, I was like,
is he?
I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, I must be fucking impossible to deal with. And he was like, I know, I'm dealing with it too. And I'm like, this is great.
So then maybe you'll learn about yourselves dating you.
I've already learned, because the thing is, like, this is like, we just announced this, but this has been going on since late last year.
Yeah.
So just really, but I think what I was thinking about, like, my thoughts on it, because it is a huge step, and I have a, you know, very hard time trusting people. But it's great when a person improves your life when it's already going well, instead of just kind of swooping in and turning it inside out. Like, I was already happy. I didn't need to be saved or rescued. And I think that's such an important specific to find out.
Yeah.
Like, when someone comes along and saves you, I feel like you're fucked. No one has ever become my boyfriend because they've saved me. They've come around when I was already ready and open to it.
And that's a beautiful that'll be a beautiful relationship. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a good step for a relationship, a first step.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to do this podcast was because I wanted to become a better person who then in turn could become a better mate. And it took me a really long time. Like, I wasn't even open to the possibility of being in a relationship until maybe like last year.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even the beginning of the year, like mid last year. I was like, kind of like, maybe I can start doing this again. Like, maybe I feel comfortable. Cause for so long, like, I would have these little like things with people, but I was just like, I truly believed that. I was like, this is not working. Cause like the universe is like telling me, like, you're not ready. Yeah. You're not ready emotionally. You're not ready as a person. You're not, your career isn't ready. Like, there's still more things you can do. And I feel like now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, not that I like can turn my back on all the stuff that I've worked so hard on,
never,
but that I can like give myself a break, kind of like being in a relationship is giving myself a break a little bit, like saying, like, Jesus Christ, you've worked so hard for 4 years, like, you're allowed to fucking watch TV with your boyfriend.
That makes me so happy to hear, because it's, you're very, very hard on yourself.
It's very hard for me. Like,
I feel good to say,
but also
because you do deserve a break. You work your fucking ass off, dude. Everyone knows you as the person who work, like, you're always hustling, and it's like, sometimes I see, and you like take a second and just like enjoy joy.
I know, I do need
to. And James is fucking rad, man. He's so cool. I mean, what I know of him,
he is very cool.
And if he's anything like you, he's the best.
Super cool. But yeah, no, and it was, but it's a kind of motivating too, because it's like a reward to look forward to in the day. Like, even the other day, I was like, okay, I have to get this done. There's no way I can like neglect this work that I have to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was like kind of just like, you can eat dessert after you do your homework. Like, yeah. I was like, you gotta have to get this done. And then it almost made me do it faster, because I was like, as soon as I get this done, I can see James.
You can see James.
And this is great. So it was great. So, and I know, and I kind of feel in a way, and I've already gotten some feedback from some people I know personally, like, Corinne, you're the biggest advocate of being single. And I feel like I'm like letting people down.
I don't
down
think you're an advocate. You're the biggest advocate of loving yourself first.
Right.
That's what you're the biggest advocate
of. And that's
of
what, I would never tell someone, if they met someone that they truly felt was supposed to be in their life, to turn your back on that, or to deny yourself for that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like so often people are in relationships because they feel like they should be in a relationship. You shouldn't be in a relationship because you feel like you should be in a relationship. You should be in a relationship because you feel like your life is better when that person is with you.
Yeah.
And that they make you better. And, you know, it shouldn't feel like a task. It should feel like freedom. Like, what the Guys We Fuck podcast does for other people, like Alanis Morissette did for me. So I'm constantly like just thinking back to Alanis Morissette lyrics. And so there's like certain things that I look for in, you know, in the things that she said, and just like being in a relationship.
Going down on you in a theater.
Going down in a theater.
That's so important.
I've given a hand job in a theater. I've never gonna blow job, but maybe this is, you know,
hey,
this
James,
is my moment.
James, listen up.
I mean, he'd be into it for
sure. Let's go see a movie with her.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's the news.
That's fucking rad.
And it's exciting, but it's also scary. And you know what? Yeah. I could fuck this up and turn around and be like, next week, be like, this is over.
It could be the worst or best thing ever. Well, that's right.
It's a lot of pressure also having to like announce it publicly.
But because of the nature of what you do, what you're known for, like the podcast being such a big deal that I think.
And it's all about relationships. And I felt like, well, it's a line and not. And then also, you know, he was like, oh, well, it's weird if you don't tell people like it, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, but there was a certain like selfishness to it. I was like, don't you understand? Like, I've had to share everything for so long. Like, I was like, is it wrong to be like, I just want you to myself?
No.
That's how I felt. That's why I was like, really like, oh, and I was like, I guess I'll talk about it.
Are you happy you talked about it?
I don't know.
Now they can't unhear it.
This didn't air yet. I don't know.
I'll ask you Saturday.
We'll see.
Everyone's going to be like, oh my God, that's so cool. That's fucking awesome.
But anyway.
That's rad.
And that's what else they asked.
Let's read some. Here's an email from a guy who is not having such a good time.
Good transition.
The subject line, I didn't put the subject line in here, but I'm pretty sure this is what it was. I fucked my wife's sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh. That ain't good.
That wasn't a play on words.
No, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did. Hey, everyone makes mistakes, and the cops are coming for you now. You hear the sirens. Guys, we're in my living room. All right. Hey, hello, ladies. I enjoy the show. I find myself continually enlightened by you and your guests. I'm writing because of two reasons. First, I truly want to make this right. Second, my guilt is overwhelming. I felt like you both are genuinely open-minded and non-judgmental, so in a very literal way, you two are the only people I could actually come to with this. So here it goes. Last month, I slept with my sister-in-law. I've been married for 5 years, and I love my wife. I have never cheated on her or any other girl I've been with. Prior to her sister, I had only been with my wife and two other women. The situation is obviously weird, and I found myself trying to avoid being alone with my sister-in-law. It all started around Christmas when she got my name in our family gift exchange. She got me a gift card to my favorite restaurant and a coupon that said homemade dessert by her name. My wife has always said things like, if I die, please marry my sister, and you guys are so much alike, etc. My wife also has encouraged us to go on, quote, dates. We would hang out after dinner or a movie, and she stayed the night several times without a hint of sexual tension. Then, about a month ago, things went crazy. My wife works third shift as a nurse, and so we went on a date, I'm assuming with his sister-in-law. I used my gift card for dinner and then told her we should go shopping for dessert ingredients to fulfill my Christmas present. Her exact words were, how about I just flash you my boobs? I jokingly laughed and said, of course. We then decided to go to a local bar and play darts and have some drinks. I don't drink often, so after a few drinks, I was tipsy. She was getting drunk as well and began to get more flirty. She decided to start making bets on dart throws. It escalated quickly from a smack on the ass to seeing her completely naked. That's pretty quick. That is a quick escalate. It's like you have a magic power. It's like I Dream of Jeannie. You smack the ass, all the clothes go away.
Oh my God.
If that happened, no one would live a life. Anyway, we left the bar and walked home, and I had honestly forgot about any of those bets. When we got home, we continued to drink on the couch. She asked me to rub her feet, which I was more than willing to do because I have a heavy foot fetish. I'm not sure if this is something my wife communicated to her and she knew I'd find it arousing, or she just really wanted a foot rub. Oh, after a few drinks and the foot rub, I told her that I was going to bed. She objected and said that I won a couple of the bets and that she had to keep them. Because that when you make a bet, if you don't keep it, you'll go to jail. I added that. In my mind, I couldn't help but think this is awesome. I'm going to see her naked. I didn't for one moment think about the consequences or repercussions. She came back into the living room wearing a robe and asked if I wanted to take it off. I did. Shocking. She stood in front of me naked, and I was, of course, overcome with hormones. I asked her to back up and then asked if I could motorboat her ass. It goes without saying, but we fucked. In fact, we fucked 3 times. It was honestly the best sex I'd ever had, which I think makes me feel worse. My question is, do I tell my wife? Part of me thinks it's the only way to relieve the guilt, and then I think that I'm being selfish because I could ruin my entire family's life. I am so confused.
Bing, 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 bing. Oh, my
God. Okay.
God.
Listener.
Oh my God.
So I feel like,
wowza.
I mean, this is like a movie. Like I've heard of this happening.
Can we
before.
Option this?
Yes. So whoever wrote this, sorry, we're taking your rights away. Okay. You've only slept with a few people. Okay. Two other people, then your wife, and now your wife's sister. It's weird that your wife would encourage you guys to date or something, but I think if it was me and I had a sister, I would probably say shit like that and feel so comfortable with Steven being with my sister. I don't have a sister, so I don't know what it's like to have a sister. I could be just, people with sisters could be yelling into their phones right now, but I would completely trust that. I would in no way think that my husband would fuck my sister. You gotta tell her. How can you not tell her? That's so this woman is I don't know how she'll react. I assume really pissed, and it'll make that family dynamic fucked up for a while.
You think it's 100% tell her?
If it was a random person or someone that he knew that was far in the distance and not right. Someone that's going to be at every holiday, at every Thanksgiving, at every everything, when a family member dies, she's going to be, it's just, you can't avoid her for the rest of your life.
I know, but I feel like he did this, and this is, and exactly what he talks about, like relieving the guilt. No, you fucking fucked up and you live with this guilt now. This is going to destroy the relationship between two sisters. And for me,
yeah.
I mean, I know you have a brother. I don't know. Like, I know you're pretty close with your brother,
pretty
right?
Close.
Like, my brother is, I would say, arguably the most important person to me in the entire world. I'm going to go with that. I think that's how I feel. But it's so hard. There's a lot of important. But my brother's like the most important person to me in the entire world. And the bond between siblings is so strong and unique. Like, this is. And I know that the other sister broke it.
I know people who hate
it.
Their sisters, though.
I know.
Like, hate their
it
sisters.
It seems like they don't in this situation, though. And I mean, it. Oof.
What if the wife has encouraged them to go on dates, and if I die, please date my sister, blah, blah, right. blah. What if she wouldn't be as pissed as I think she would be?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is I was like, it could be a really fucked up sexual fantasy.
I know. That's
in
the other
which
thing.
That's my other thought, in that this was something that, you know, she had thought of and that actually arouses her. That I don't push that aside at all. I totally would believe that.
I know many people who have fucked siblings.
Yeah.
Like had a three-way with siblings.
I think first of all, he needs to have a very intense sit-down conversation with his
sister-in-law.
I think that's step one. Because this is, I don't even know how this happened, honestly. Like, I have turned sex down with the person, and I can say this easily, with the person I have most wanted to have sex with in my entire life. It was offered to me on a silver platter, and I said no.
Which, I could never do that.
It was very, very hard, but I did it. And this is not like fucking patting on my back. It's because it was not right. It was not okay. People were in relation. It was absolutely not okay. And I wanted to so badly, and I didn't.
So it's possible to have that willpower.
Yeah. So exactly.
He just didn't have that willpower.
You fucked up, and you fucked up real bad.
Yeah.
And no one's excusing you, and you shouldn't excuse yourself.
He doesn't sound like he's excused. Yeah, he seems like
you fucked up real bad. And that, but that's why I think the relationship between siblings, you're gonna destroy a family, and not even your own fucking family. You're destroying the whole family if she reacts in a way that is possible.
I know. There's a 5% chance that she would think it's hot.
I know.
I did think that.
I know.
Did think it was like a weird kinky thing that maybe they had.
I mean, that's why you talked to the sister first. Has that ever been discussed? Because it's just, for me, with cheating and confessing cheating, you're just hurting the person that you cheated on even more than you already did with the act that you did.
Yeah. And I can understand having an affair. That's like, an affair could be good for a marriage. Like, Dan Savage says this all the time. It's the first time I ever heard this, and I was like, you know what, you're fucking right, cheating is not at the end of the world. But when it's your family, you cheated on
it's
with
just
the,
so
with
many
your
levels of
sister?
Loyalty were broken.
Yeah,
on both sides. It's her fault too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I think the person who holds the most blame is always the person in the committed relationship. I don't know if this sister is also married too. That's a horse of a different color.
You should talk to her. And
and this can absolutely never happen again.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, never.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Don't do it again, dude.
Unless something has come out in the meantime, in the interim, where we realize it's like a huge sexual fantasy and you guys are all fucking together.
Can I just say, I was like in the middle of something very, like I had to give my attention and I got this email. I read the subject line. I was like, I got to go real quick to read this.
Yeah. No.
So, listener, if there's been any developments, please let me know, because I don't know. I don't know how you get yourself out of that one.
Yeah.
You fucked up. You got to live with it. If it kills, if the guilt kills you so bad, or if you feel like you need to do it again, you got to don't keep your wife in that marriage.
Yeah. And also another thing you decide not to tell, then you let the guilt eat away at you, and then you take it out by lashing out on your wife. That's another thing not to do.
She getting the short ends, all the sticks.
Yeah. But yeah, I think if we're going to take just our advice, take it step by step, talk to the sister and then come back to us.
Yeah. Can we do that? Can we do a two-parter?
I would really like to.
Would you mind?
Yeah, and we'll do it fast.
I'm going to email you after this and be like, hey, we read your email. You got to fucking give us an update.
Okay, so then we have a second email. Hey, GWF, big fan of the show, so I got a question for y'all, and we'll keep it short and sweet, so I hope you get around to answering it. 25-year-old male here in a long-term relationship. When we were on vacation 2 years ago, we had a MFM threesome, male, female, male, threesome with a random dude we met at a club, and it was fantastic. Love that this is a man, right? This it was a one-night thing, and we never saw or talked to this dude again. Ever since then, however, all I want is to share my girl with multiple guys, and I can't get off when I fuck her without thinking of her with another dick in her getting gangbanged with me or while I watch. I want to watch her get fucked by some stud and then fuck her afterward. And no, it doesn't really matter. I'm just obsessed with the idea of her getting railed right in front of me by one or more guys. The problem is she's not interested. I'm not asking for an MFF. Male, female, female. In return, I just want to see her with another guy and ideally multiple other men. And the idea just turns me on so damn much. You're really selling this.
Yeah, I'm getting turned on.
Every time she goes out with her friends or is on vacation, I want to encourage her to, quote, cheat, but she won't and isn't into it. This sounds awesome. It sounds to me like it was a one-time thing that we did and she isn't that interested in doing it again, but I really, really want it. She is fucking hot as the sun, like legit model material, and gets hit on all the time, and I know it would be easy to find multiple suitors to share her with me. All right, it's weird when you say suitors.
Yeah, that's a little.
Are we in Aladdin? But why won't she indulge in essentially...
Jafar!
Is this Jafar writing us?
Jafar! I didn't know you had fucking internet!
But why won't she indulge in essentially a free unlimited hall pass I am granting her. Help me out, ladies. Please tell me what I can do to help her change her mind. I will be forever grateful. It's so funny to me that like, as a man writing this letter, it's like he truly can't wrap his mind around
why his girlfriend
only wants to fuck him. That's my favorite part of this email. It's just, he's like, but I'm saying fuck anyone. I know. What are you talking about, Stacey?
I'll date you, sir. You sound awesome. No, he has a cuckolding fetish.
Right.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
I do as well. I want to hear about my boyfriend, what he thinks about other... I've lined shit up right now as we speak to have my boyfriend fuck other chicks.
I cannot remember the last time I had sex with a man and didn't picture that man having sex with someone else. Yeah, yes, in a very demeaning manner. A lot of dick slapping in the face. That would not be okay with me.
That's Corinne.
But I can't remember the last time I had sex where I didn't use that thought to help make me come.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know you thought about that often.
That's my go-to.
I think about it every time I masturbate.
Usually it has to be someone I know, though.
That's...
Like, I just take mental notes of who's hitting on whoever I'm fucking, and I'm like, we're gonna use that for the spank bang
later.
And
I want you to pour dough all over her face.
If there's anything I want you listeners to know, it's that women have a spank bang, too.
Oh, hell.
I want you to take that home.
When I was at the cutting room and I saw Chris Noth, who plays big on Sex and the City, talk
forever, even if he has other
John
roles.
John Corbett, who was Aiden on Sex and the City. Yeah, it doesn't matter whatever their other roles
are. Wherever life takes him.
I have masturbated to that moment and I stared behind them very creepily. Yeah. Like I lurked. Right. I was that guy that all women like want to die. Like I was horribly creepy. That was the best addition to my spank bank in a very long time.
Oh, gosh.
I love spank banks.
Yeah, really just gems.
So anyway. So you want your
Christina
girlfriend...
Christina and I are too aroused.
I know.
To answer this email properly.
You want your girlfriend to fuck other dudes, and she's like, but I only love you, and you're pissed about it, so you're writing us. There have been worse
problems. Cry me a fucking river.
What if you just incorporated it in your dirty talk?
Yeah.
That's a good start. And that's also very fulfilling. For me, it has been very fulfilling to have to incorporate that in my dirty talk. And it kind of, it doesn't exactly take the place of another woman being with us, but it does take up 90% of the place.
Because my problem with this email is you are acting like this is like you're giving her a big fucking gift, but this is your, you have to understand, this is your fantasy, not her fantasy. So even if it's her who's getting to engage in the sexual act,
she's gotta like it.
Yeah, it's not her who is benefiting from it. It's you.
It's you.
Who are benefiting. So, you know, sometimes in relationships, we want things and we don't get them.
Wah.
I'm preparing myself for that now. Not looking forward
no,
to it.
No, you're dating you.
Gotta say,
dick.
Yeah.
So he wants probably to humiliate. Yeah,
so
whatever.
We're both just going to do whatever the fuck we want, exactly. And it'll end in a fiery ambush.
Oh, that's my positive girl. Yeah, that's a very good point. Sometimes people have fetishes and it's like a puzzle piece. I like getting fucked by other guys in front of my boyfriend is a perfect match for this specific kink. But sometimes it's not. So you can't, you either, if I think if she's not into the idea of incorporating into her dirty talk, which she might not be, because that's maybe she doesn't like that. Then maybe you just got to think it in your head.
Yeah. And it's also like, maybe just take a moment and step the fuck back and realize how thankful you should be that this happened even once.
I know.
Dear God.
Absolutely. And that's in your spank bank.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's a moment that you can use in the bedroom. Yeah. And in your mind when you masturbate for quite some time. Like that should hold you over.
Yeah. And also like how to bring that up to her. Like, hey, I know that you express like not really being interested in having other men incorporated in our sex life. If you ever change your mind on that, totally let me know. Would you be into having us talking about it while we're fucking you?
Because that's also super aggressive. Like, I mean, like, very few women, I think, actually want to be gangbanged.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
that.
You would.
But the circumstances have to align so perfectly that I trust multiple men to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I don't think I'm into that. And then, so it's like, and you know, if you are, that's cool. But
I sometimes
she seems not to
fantasize
be.
About multiple of my exes with me at once.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I always think about
except that one guy.
I just want them all to line up next to each other so I can just look at them in a row.
Yeah, and just jerk off right in front of them.
I wouldn't be awesome. I would just be like,
I would just, good for me.
I would just kind of like tilt my head like a puppy.
It's been fun.
That was
Jets.
Choices, things, people.
Those are things I did.
Those are things.
Those are dicks that were done.
Those are dicks inside me. Oh my
god. Hope that helps.
Wow.
And if you have an update too, if there's an update in your situation, write us again. This is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great emails, guys. If you want to send us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Or if you want, there's a quick thing, you can tweet us at @SRYAboutLastNYT on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, all that good stuff. Christina.
Oh my God, our guest is so great.
There's something else before that.
What?
You're sleeping on something. Can you tell us about it?
Oh my God. Okay. I am just so blessed to be doing ads for things I actually like. Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
The other sponsor for Guys We Fucked, and we thank them very much for their support, Casper. Casper mattresses. I got a Casper mattress. They sent one to me. And it's so, I've been sleeping on a futon mattress for the past 4 years.
You let them know, girl.
And it has sucked so hard.
I am so sorry.
And when we got notice that Casper wanted to sponsor this fucking podcast, I was like, you give me a goddamn mattress, Casper. And they were like, calm down, first of all. secondly, yeah, sure. And this is my second night sleeping on this fucking Casper mattress. And let me tell you something. It is a goddamn angel cloud tornado oh my God, it's amazing. Casper, they obsessively engineer their mattresses. They're American made. The prices are amazing. Shockingly fair prices. They ship these mattresses to you. And you can go to a mattress store and sit on a mattress with your husband, Dale, who's not really paying attention because she just wants something to watch the game on anyway. And you don't feel like you get a good experience on it. Well, Casper will ship a mattress to you and you can try it for a trial period. And if you don't like it, they'll fucking pick it back up and take it back away from your home, but you will like it because it's seriously so comfortable.
It really is.
You can also right now get $50 off any mattress purchase if you go to casper.com/GWF at checkout. You use the code GWF. I went to that URL and there's this like beautiful woman sitting on a mattress and it just says, "Guys, we fucked." And I'm like, this is beautiful.
I gotta go. That's so funny.
Yeah. And so go try the risk-free trial. It's not gonna hurt. They'll deliver it straight to you. Try it for 100 days. If you're not happy, they'll pick it back up. Okay.
Perfect.
Just fucking casper.com/GWF, guys.
Love it.
My life has changed.
Yeah. You really, you
gave, so well rested.
You gave so much extra ad time that you really,
I did.
I felt it.
I'm sorry. It deserves
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You felt it. You felt it. Ugh. Guess who else we felt? This week's guest. So you guys have heard me talking about her week in, week out. I feel like she's part of the GWF family, even though she's never been on the episode. One of the most loyal listeners after my mother and my boyfriend. Steven, like, she really, like, I get a text every time she listens to the episode. She's never missed an episode. Part of the reason we are friends is because of the Guys We Fucked podcast. Which continues to bring good things into my life.
Oh my God, you're so blessed.
I'm so blessed. And she's the co-host of Nacho Bitches. She's an awesome fucking stand-up comedian. Please see her if she's in town near you. And she's coming out on her own MTV show. I'm so proud of her, in June, called Ladylike. Please look out for it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Blair Saki.
You respect the lady, so fucking hot, but baby, now it's time to play. Get it, bitch. Get it, bitch.
I said it's sake,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, like a Japanese wine.
Yep. Yeah. Sake to me.
Corinne's heard me say that a few times.
Well, it's perfect. It makes perfect sense. It's an alcohol, so we can all remember. Well, people say sochi, like it's like a some kind of like bocce, like bocce,
sure,
ball.
Yeah.
But I get that's with an E.
Soaky, saucy, everything.
Saucy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't
They're
know.
They're just trying to compliment you.
Maybe.
Too much creative freedom on that one. We're so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I am thrilled. You know, I have been a fan from the very start.
Yeah. Guys, we fuck brought Blair and I together.
It sure did.
Oh, did it?
Well, we were booked on a show together at Revision Lounge, I believe.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then Danny Palmer of X Guys We Fucked fame had said to me, like, outside, he was like, you know who you would really like? Blair Saki. And I was like, okay. And then we met and I was like, you're the person who Danny Palmer said I would really like. And then you were like, I love your podcast.
Yeah.
And then Corinne was like, and I love you already.
Yeah, it was funny because we became friends like right when it started. I feel like actually it was before it started, because didn't you start it in December and we became friends in like that fall?
Wow, super fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was interesting because also like when I mean, this sounds corny, but where I come from such a conservative background that, like, listening to the podcast, like, my ideas about sex and everything have evolved, like,
oh, cool,
from listening every week.
It's crazy just overhearing somebody else talk about something. Because I was talking to Steven about this last night, and we talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A podcast is the only format that you can do this in. Mm-hmm. Because, and to have this intimate of a conversation. Because even I would freeze up. I would not say what I say on this podcast in front of a giant room of people or on camera. I feel like I would just be a little more scared to talk about my clit or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
I'm always forgetting what I'm saying on here, and then people say it back to me. I'm like, what the fuck did I say?
How did I say that?
Jesus,
I didn't say
Christ.
That.
Yeah. I mean, that makes complete sense because it just feels like you're talking to your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing. We're in my living room and it's really dope.
Yeah. We created a very safe environment for Blair today.
We did. So you were saying your background, you grew up in a conservative background. You have a joke. I love your joke about you were raised to be a linebacker. I think that's so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's true. I
Modell's number one customer over here.
The Blair most Saki. Adorable linebacker I've ever
oh,
seen.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, Corinne just constantly gives me shit for my clothes.
Why? Oh, she does that to me. Like, show more cleavage.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm sorry. You, it's acceptable. Blair. Blair shows up to shows like she's a starting lineup for the Knicks. Like, what are you doing?
You wear baggy shit?
I wear really baggy shit. It's weird because, yeah, I grew up on the youngest of older brothers. My dad, it was like kind of it was like I didn't want to stick out as being an other in my family. So I just kind of like assimilated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what that. I my dad taught me to change the brakes on his car when I was like 16.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what,
incredible.
That's what us Hutchinsons do.
Yeah, and also, I mean, where I grew up in Orange County where it's so focused on vanity and how you look. And that was projected on me at such a young age that I think it was almost like a political statement for me to just be like, fuck you, I'm going to be ugly, you know?
Yeah. Like, and you're not ugly.
But you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'm going to be just blend.
Yeah.
And not
wear clothes
out.
That don't show the shape of my body.
I guess, like, if I ever go to the beach or, you know, someone sees me naked, they're like, wow, like, you're considerably smaller than I thought you were. Yeah.
I like how you said if someone sees you naked, like, it might happen one day, but still hasn't.
No one's seen her naked yet, guys.
Very coquettish.
I've seen a picture of your boobs in a bathing suit, and I liked it.
Ooh.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have big boobs? I don't see you.
They're very big.
I can't tell, because you wear bags over your shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're very big.
Wow, what size are you?
God, I found out. I mean, I guess there's no reason to hide it because it's on TV now. There was like a segment. It will be on TV where I get fitted in a bra.
Oh, that's right. You texted me regarding
horrifying.
This.
But yeah, like I'm a 32 double D.
That's exactly my size.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. See, and I would never know. Yeah. And then once I take my shirt off in front of like a guy I'm fucking, they're like, holy shit. I'm like, sure. Yeah, keep these puppies hidden.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little surprise at the beach. Otherwise, you know, it looks, you wouldn't know.
I take my shirt off and it's a surprise too. People are like, wow, those are a lot smaller than I thought they were. You're so good at dressing yourself.
No, Corinne, you wear things where I'm like, that is incredible. Like if I wore that, I'd be arrested.
Right.
Well, that's for indecency.
But that's a good point though, because that's why I do enjoy being flat-chested.
Sure.
Because I can just almost show up naked and everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah, you have freedom. You have all sorts of creative freedom.
Because no one's interested. So you can do whatever you want.
That's not true.
Yo, you can jog without pain.
No, it still hurts, and that's the bitch.
Oh.
You have to wear a sports bra still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So there was no sex talk in your family?
No sex talk at all. I think, you know, my parents came from a different generation where it was kind of like, no, we don't talk about things. You know, you're a child. You are seen and not heard.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's that old generation. You know, they were a lot less catered to their emotions and everything.
Yeah. My grandparents are certainly very sweep it under the rug. And
exactly.
I feel like that dripped up. My parents are definitely better about it, but it certainly dripped down a little bit. So I feel like as we go on, it gets better.
Right. Yeah. And so, and then my brothers were like always really respectful around me, like, they were very protective and trying to shelter me from everything. And I was never, you know, I think my mom had the attitude of like, if we don't talk about it, then maybe it won't happen, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Which isn't how it works.
If you don't tell Blair about sex, she'll never do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She'll be a virgin forever.
I know.
Did your brothers get any type of sex talk?
Not that I know of.
Did you ever, like, was there ever moments in the house where you accidentally walked in on one of them masturbating, or?
No, I never
one,
walked in.
One with
in
his a... dick out?
No.
I've seen my brother's dick once before. It was horrifying.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I walked in the room, and then it was dangling out of his boxers, and I was like, hey, dude, you gotta, and he looked down, and he screamed, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna forget that ever happened.
Yeah, I mean.
I was a child.
You hope and pray those things never happen.
Yeah.
I didn't have that happen. I did definitely try to bring it up to my mom a few times, and she was just too uncomfortable. Like, I tried
really?
To, like, I that's just the way I am. I want to talk about everything, and then that made me feel super, like, shameful.
What did you ask her?
I don't know. I think, like, and I was just like, hey, well, sex is pretty weird, or...
So that's where the beginnings of your stand-up career? You know, I mean, sex is so confusing, Mom.
What's the deal with sex? No, but it made me feel, and like we since talked about it, and I think she was just like, oh God, what was I doing? Like that was a mistake, you know?
Yeah.
She wishes probably that it would have gone down differently, but
right.
You know, I think back, the older I get with parents, in regards to parents, I'm like, God, they had so much shit to juggle and they're just trying to get through the day. And I have like a lot more compassion for them, like every day that I get older.
Wow, you That's are so very nice. Nice. And most people just come on here and blame almost 100% of it on their parents.
Yeah, I mean, I think I am definitely the way I am and have made choices and stuff based on the way I was raised and stuff. But I mean, like, when I think of my parents, they're just people and they're doing the best they can.
It's true.
You know?
Parents are humans too. And kids don't realize that until they're older. And they're like, oh, yeah.
And I also know how much they love me. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of things I wish would have gone differently or anything, like, I know that they always, like, 1,000% want the best and we're trying their best. You know? Right.
They tried.
And I think it's, that's a big part of becoming adult is having your parents and like people like teachers who you hold on a pedestal just really disappoint you because it humanizes them. But then also
it's a bummer though.
It's a huge bummer.
Yeah.
It's on par with finding out Santa isn't real.
It really is. Cause then you're like, oh, you're not the superhero I thought you were.
And it's also not fair to them. Yeah. It's not fair.
Nothing. Ugh, damn, that's a fucked up situation. You lose, you lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone loses. So what was your first sexual experience?
My first sexual experience, like my first kiss was a big problem.
Why was your first kiss a big problem?
I had a big crush on this boy named Matt Bessie, and we were going to Knott's Berry Farm the class trip to go to summer break in seventh grade. And everyone was going on the dinosaur ride to make out, and he asked me to go on. And then when we went on, it's an all dark, slow ride, you know, and he stuck his tongue down my throat, like in the most aggressive way. And I just started laughing. Very hard to imagine, I'm sure.
I'm shocked.
Yes. And then we got off and he told everyone that I was tight. Which Whoa. I didn't know what that meant.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so I didn't know you, but you can, wait, tight, like,
but
your
wait,
pussy?
But wait, he didn't even touch
her
pussy.
Her pussy is so tight. I tongued her mouth so hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was pretending that he fingered you?
No. They thought, like, if you kiss, that meant you were loose. And if you, what I mean? It was like a...
I was like, it's either your vagina and he's making up a lie so he thinks people think he fingered her.
Yeah.
Or it's like a California, like, tight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
she's so tight and round.
It was like slay. It had nothing to do with, or I don't even think they knew. Yeah, for prude.
It's California's prude. Okay.
Well, I don't know if it was California. It was a
Matt
naive
it was
seventh grader.
Dingleberry Farm or whatever the fuck farm you're
not
at.
Not knowing that it actually had to do with the tightness of a vagina.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was so embarrassed. Like, what shame, you know?
Shame.
I like went home and cried.
How did you find out that he was calling you tight?
Oh, everyone told me.
Wow.
Like after.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Secrets aren't really well hidden in the seventh grade. I feel like someone whispers it and then the other person behind that person just is like, oh, hey, Blair, you're tight. That's how
rides
secrets
are
kept.
Rides are such popular places. I just remembered that my almost first kiss was at a Gravitron, but it couldn't happen because it was spinning and I couldn't lift up my neck to kiss the
dude. Oh my
God,
that's a bad place.
This dude, Dan. Wow.
But a great ride.
I totally just remember that. I tried so hard to kiss him and then like I had drool like because it was the Gravitron. So you were like on the ceiling, you couldn't move and the drool was like flying out of my mouth.
Oh
and
my God,
his
Christina.
Drool was flying onto me, but we never got to kiss. Wow, I just remembered that. Oh, middle school.
I remember Gravitrons. They made me so sick.
I love Gravitrons.
Oh, I can't believe I did that.
I mean, there's a lot of rides at fairs and, you know, Six Flags, etc.
They're so unsafe.
They're very unsafe. You're on it and you're like, why? This
and
is not
they're
okay.
All operated by a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like a lot of them do drugs.
And they're just texting their friends.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, I forgot to press the button.
And it's like absolutely. A dumb 15-year-old.
Yeah. It's always a dumb 15-year-old. There's so many smart ones out there that they should, but they're too smart to.
There's like
yeah.
jobs, maybe. That's why they were smart enough to not take the job.
I'm working
at
the
CVS.
Smart ones are like studying for the SAT and shit.
Oh, I didn't do that, but I did work at CVS. So that was the beginning of your sexual career.
Yeah, and then I lost my virginity to my high school boyfriend, who was also a virgin and like the sweetest man in the world.
Aww.
Yeah.
So was it a great first time then?
It was. Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't come or anything like crazy.
I mean,
like
I
that.
Assumed you
Who
didn't. Came the first time they had
yeah,
sex?
No,
not
but
I.
I mean, just like the sweetest dude in the world, and we were like really in love. And
aww.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
What year in high school were you?
I was a sophomore and he was a senior.
Okay.
What's it like to have sex with a virgin? Because I've never done that.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I had no idea what, like, it was my idea to do it because we were very in love and all this stuff. And, but really, I mean, like, I couldn't have been less prepared or had any idea of what was going to happen. And it was just, to me, like, this very sweet thing.
Were you like, let's rip the Band-Aid off so we could say we had sex?
Yeah, I just thought.
I like you, you like me.
Also, I kind of ran with the crowd. Like, I started partying really young and
really?
Yeah, yeah. I started drinking when I was like 13.
You said ran with the crowd. That's so cute.
I did.
Just picture you running with a pack of wolves.
I ran with the toughest crowd.
I did. Well, like, I was like the prude. I mean, everyone had sex super young. So I waited like years after. And that doesn't even sound like a late time to lose
Not
my virginity.
At all.
Yeah.
No. Did you feel different after you had sex, negatively or positively?
No, because to me it was like it happened all under the circumstances and that I wanted to. It wasn't even a guy putting it in my head. It was like my idea,
yeah,
self-generated,
nice.
And just like a really kind
in a relationship.
Dude.
Where was it? Where were you?
It was at this girl's house. her parents were gone at a party, and after she asked me like if we hooked up in the bed, because she's like, I just need to know so I can change the sheets, and I was like, no.
Wow, so considerate, Stephanie.
Because I didn't want anyone to know. Like, I didn't want anyone to know I had sex. Like,
why?
I thought it was.
Hopefully, you didn't bleed.
I didn't. Is that a thing that actually happened?
Yeah,
that happened to me.
But you're so athletic, Blair. I'm sure you had already popped your cherry a long time before.
That's true.
I call that those hurdles.
It's called
jumping.
Lacrosse, baby. Oh, hurdles will pop a cherry, maybe.
Blair, you know, seem like a field hockey
type. Especially if you land on one.
If I grew up on the East Coast, I would have for sure played field hockey and probably killed some bitches. Like,
did you
on
volleyball?
I played volleyball. I love the hand motion that you just
Corinne
did.
Corinne was raising the roof.
Corinne just did a hand motion that looked like she's never even seen
do
a sport.
Do you do the volleyball, kids?
I hate sports.
You do?
You do.
I hate, yeah. I don't give a fuck.
I played a lot of sports I was just around guys all the time with my brothers and all their friends and the way they talked about girls and stuff. Even though my brothers were nice dudes, like, you know, if there was like the slutty girl in school, like I was so afraid of being talked about like that. Mm. And to me, like the way that I understood sex and like my brothers were always probably in a joking way, but also serious, like men are bad. Men are bad. Like, don't they only want bad things from you. Like all this stuff.
It was a protective mechanism, probably.
Yes, but it also.
But you were like, oh no.
But I internalized that, yeah. Like to where, you know, I was like, oh, I have to be scared. And also, sex is not for me. It's something that I make a choice to either give away or keep. And once I give it away, I have no power. That's like the way that I understood sex.
And also the vernacular, like the giving. Taking someone's virginity,
yes.
All that,
yeah,
bullshit,
yeah.
Is so, it's such a little tiny thing, but the way, because that's the way everybody thinks about it, you do feel like you're losing a part of yourself, which is such bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, sex should be enriching you, not making you less of a person or less valuable, but I feel like that's the way we kind of sometimes express it in society.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more of a gendered thing for me.
Did your parents not let you do certain things that they would let your brothers do when they were your age?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I had that too.
100%. Like a lot of things, you know, like they would be like, you guys go do yard work and Blair, you be in the kitchen. And I mean, I still had to do yard work and shit like that, but a lot of it was like there were double standards,
yeah.
And like, you're a girl, you do this, and you're a boy, you do this. Like, my brothers were allowed to do sleepovers and stuff a lot more that I wasn't allowed to do, and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, I remember there's a moment where I asked my dad, I was like, are you not letting me do this because I'm a girl? Because I knew that DJ got to do this when he was my age. And he just goes, yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was the moment that I was like, fuck authority.
Sure.
I'm going to be a badass.
Yeah.
And none of my Barbies are going to wear shirts from now on.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Well, I've always been like very defiant, which is weird because I don't have that personality.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I, in person, am very amiable and like, I guess
adorable
chill?
And likable and
oh, thanks. But I mean, like, kind of I've done everything opposite of my parents have ever told me to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that stems from like you being like pushed down so much as from a kid, like just having those unfair treatment of you?
Yeah. And also being the youngest of brothers, it's just like this, like, which I was very close with and like spent so much time with. It was mm-hmm. always like proving yourself and being like, you can't do that. And I'd be like, oh yes, I can.
Oh, fuck
or
you.
Like, don't do that. And I will. Oh yes, I will. You know, just that type of.
What's
like
running amok?
The biggest, have you ever gotten into trouble? Like, have you ever done something really stupid as a kid? Like you broke into the old man Harry's house or I don't know.
just like a lot of partying, I think. Yeah. But I also played sports and stuff, which I really cared about. So I did everything. I did everything to align. Like I was very conscious of not getting caught for things. And, yeah. You know,
you're careful.
Yeah.
You're real undercover Blair.
I guess. Yes. Fucking little sketchball.
All right. So
Sketchball McGee.
So now this is the moment we've all been waiting for. And by we, I mean me, Christina, yeah, and Blair, because no one else knows what's coming. Now, you had an interesting relationship, unsavory maybe. I don't know what words we're going to use to describe it. When you were in high school with an authority figure.
Yes.
And that's something that we haven't really addressed, a kind of like a relationship that maybe wasn't healthy by these like standards because of age, because of positions that people are in. I don't think we've discussed that.
The only thing we talked about, I've mentioned briefly, like when I was in middle school, there's a couple inappropriate things that happened between me and teachers. But
as far as like guests.
Yeah. And like, so what happened with you is what I wanted to happen for me, but then obviously looking back at it, I'm so glad it didn't.
Well, I think every girl kind of thinks that they want this to happen, but yeah. I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about it so maybe our young listeners can be like, hey,
let's not do that.
Sure.
This is a very much what not to do podcast, as you know.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, it's a little hard to talk about and something I honestly thought, especially at the time and for several years after that, I would never discuss just because I had so much shame about it. But it's this is the type of thing, like, I wish so much that I would have heard something like this at this age. And I've heard, as we talked for a minute before the podcast started, like, I've heard things, little tidbits just from being a listener of you talking about, you know, your attraction to older men, especially when you were young.
Well, yeah, when I was in seventh grade, I was madly in love with my teacher.
Right.
Like, obsessed. Yeah. I would write his initials on my notebook, and everyone's like, that. I did not try to hide it at all.
Well, I had an authority figure. I had just turned 17, and it was even the grooming started before I turned 17.
So when did you meet him?
Probably like in middle school.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, a member of the community and, a lot of people, a lot of girls my age had a crush on him, like a very good looking, charismatic person. And, he started just taking an interest in me.
How did he?
Just like talking to me, and like there was things that were, like he would say, like what we were talking about, where he would say, hey, beautiful, or things, but it would be in front of people. So it somehow made it okay. Yeah. I mean, like, and also.
Did you have a crush on him when he started doing that?
Oh, totally. I mean, so like, he was so nice to me. Yeah. And I mean, like, it made me feel weird, but I was like, at the same time, you're that young. You're like, what is special about me? You know what I mean? Why is he talking to me?
Everyone has a crush on him out of all the people.
Sure.
He's picking me kind of thing.
Yeah. And the boyfriend that I had was just talking about I had just lost my virginity right before this. I mean, like, and my boyfriend went to college and we broke up. So, I mean, like, I have no experience and heartbroken, you know?
Yeah.
I hadn't even had, like, I had barely even had sex, like, lost it right before. And anyway, so it started getting to this thing where he came up to me one afternoon, and I was just so sad about my boyfriend and like some other stuff going on in my life. And he's like, what's wrong? Like, And I just started bawling in the parking lot and told him all this stuff. And, you know, he knew what he was doing. It was like a trauma bond thing, mm-hmm. because I hadn't told really anyone anything. So it was like a huge
relief for you.
Relief. Yeah. And, you know, like my parents didn't talk about anything, or it was always just like toughen up, walk it off type thing. So it was a big deal for me.
And you didn't discuss any of this with your girlfriends?
I mean, I did, but not like there. A lot of stuff I didn't. Like, I'm a different person now. I really like.
You really had shit.
At the end, at that time, I didn't talk about stuff.
And also, like, who in high school has really great feedback on a breakup? Like, yeah. That's something you have to, like, kind of learn how to handle a breakup.
Yeah, right. I guess that's true. I don't think people weren't giving advice to each other about, oh, I'm sorry Paul dumped you. It'll get better, girl. Like, yeah. We're so young. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
I know. You're so young, and it's the biggest deal. So real. Like, I mean, I thought I was going to marry him. Like, the most naive.
Of course.
Shit in the world. And
that's what happens when you don't have to pay bills or earn a living.
I mean, you're just a kid, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, and there were other things too going on. And I was like very depressed. And so, and he just kept eventually like got my phone number. And like sometimes.
How did he get your phone number?
He asked me for it like under the pretense of needing it for something else. But then I started getting texts during the day, and then we would be texting during school, and then he would call me, and it was like,
what did he say to you?
I mean, like, it was very flirtatious, but also like he asked me, we had that experience so early on, and like because I had known him for a long time, like my mind was like, oh, it's innocent, but then also like it was exciting, and also I was in a lot of pain. So I mean, like, I was just so vulnerable that I wasn't going to see clearly and weak, even if something was wrong.
Yeah, even if something was obvious.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to see that because sounds like he provided you with this comfort. And also having a crush on an older man when you're 17 and then having that reciprocated. Like, the first thing that I would think of is like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Are we going to make out?
Yeah.
See, I finally like, kind of think of it like two wild and crazy guys sketch on SNL. It's like you just want to go far enough that you get a little taste. But then if they actually showed interest in me, I would have been like quite alarmed.
Sure.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a smart thing to think.
Yeah.
You just want to like go close enough that you get a taste.
You can almost touch it, and then the second he touches you back, you run away.
Yeah, I mean, I still do that to this day. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he was a lot older than me.
How many years?
13.
Okay.
Okay, so you were
had the number ready.
Yeah, well, because like...
Because you said it in therapy many times.
What was the first time he said something like explicitly sexual to you? And was it over text or in person?
I mean, I think he asked me if I'd had sex before.
How far since the you crying in his arms in the parking lot was that in?
Maybe like... a month.
Okay.
Or like, but I mean, like, we were talking, he was constantly like, I thought, oh man, this guy is so interested in me, I'm so mature and smart, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
And this is like a predator, just constant. It was like chipping away at something.
And
you know?
He was like, he probably, the second you were crying in his arms, he was probably in his head like, jackpot, I fucking got
Or I mean, I don't even know if it was conscious, but the way how obsessive he was in a way, even if it had been innocent, like he was, my whole life was gone the second that it started.
What do you mean by that?
He was so consuming to me, like took up all my time, and constantly, if I didn't answer a call or a text, I was in trouble. Like
by him?
Yeah. I mean, like not necessarily in the beginning, but still in the beginning, it was constant contact, like right from the first second.
Wow.
And so I couldn't tell anyone what was going on. So everyone around me would be like, oh, who are you talking to? And it was just lies, or where are you going? Or, you know, I would tell my parents I was going to another place. And then my friends would be like, why aren't you at the party? Why weren't you there? And pretty soon, like, I was this super popular kid that no one saw. I was completely withdrawn, like a ghost of a person.
So you had been very popular, and then you just kind of disappeared? Or you were just like floating through?
I mean, I was. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like just a zombie of a person because it was the only thing.
Would you go over his house?
I did, yeah.
Did your parents, they must have noticed a change in you.
Yeah. And I think everyone was really worried. And there was like suspicions and things, but I would just lie. I lied constantly.
Yeah. And that's such a stressful thing to carry with you because it's like a tumbleweed effect.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, to me, the lying was so... broke my heart so much.
Yeah.
That I mean, to the point where I had no intimacy with anyone in my life.
But
like, I had no honest conversations with anyone.
But it broke your heart. But what was keeping, like, did you feel a true connection to this person or?
For sure. Yeah. I thought I was in love but really it was just like, when someone is so obsessive and envelops you, mm-hmm. you mistake that you're a young
for
kid.
Affection.
Yeah. And I mean, really, like a 30-year-old person and a 17-year-old kid, when I see a 17-year-old kid right now, they're
so
a child.
Young. Yeah.
And like I don't know how a person could even think they were in love with a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back at that, I'm 28, but
yeah.
Even me looking at a 17-year-old in any sexual way, just I'm like, that could never happen.
Yeah, like only halfway through high school.
You are a child.
Yeah.
Do you think he, but looking back on it now, knowing what you know and being an adult, do you think looking back at it that he was really in love with you? That he was,
I do. Yeah, I completely think that. But he wasn't well. I mean, there was other girls young girls
that he was doing this to
before me, and in like I don't think he was hooking up with, I mean maybe there was, who knows, mm-hmm. but I know in between, like whenever I would try to break up, there was always another young girl, and like before me there were young girls.
So he's just is he a hebephile or
I guess, I mean I don't know, I don't know that he it's so hard to classify what it is now. And I think that's also a typically female thing. Like I still have tendency to apologize for him while at the same time completely understanding that it's a full predator, that someone totally took advantage of me.
True. Yeah. And there's a difference because I mean, even if he actually had something that was like not well, when we talked about pedophilia, I mean, even if you suffer from pedophilia, which we did take the stance that it is something mentally wrong with you and not just like put people in a corner like monsters, there are still pedophiles who exist who make the active choice not to prey on children.
Right.
But I think the whole understanding what the situation is currently, but also defending him is just a result of being masterly manipulated.
100%.
Because anytime I've ever been manipulated by a person, by my mother when I was young, and it's always like when I would talk about my mom in therapy, the therapist was always pointed out how much I defended her.
Right.
And but I still will. Like I won't, I don't know if I should stop, but I always will because I love her. But that's such an interesting like result of being manipulated, I feel like.
No, I mean like I've gone through so many phases and a ton of therapy and like I feel like I'm authentically 100% healthy now. Like it's so weird because how I am now and the person people know me today, like people are always like, how are you so positive, so happy? And it's like my life for years and years and years wasn't like, I was so sad and angry and had so fearful of men. And I mean, like I never thought I would be happy and I never thought I would be able to be my true self. Like I took this whole thing because it went on for years where I couldn't get away from him. I needed a restraining order. He stalked me brutally for years.
What did that look like online? Did he show up at your work?
Everywhere. Everything. Oh everywhere. He'd show up everywhere. He'd find out places I was.
When he shows up at these places?
He would just act normal, like, and you know, just
would he be like calling you his girlfriend, or like, I mean, when you got past when you were over 18, would he like actively call you his girlfriend? Like, was that out? Was he ever someone that you brought around? Was this completely hidden the whole time?
Completely hidden. Yeah, people found out after and a little bit in between towards the very end. Mm-hmm. It was like, if I didn't, or if I tried to break up with him, he would just call me throughout the entire day, all day long. I would have like 40 missed calls and things like that. Like, it was really scary. Oh yeah. Horrible screaming. Like, I mean, just insane things, you know?
Like, do you not want to talk about, like, I'm just,
did he physically threaten you ever? Like that kind of a thing?
No, he never hit me or anything, but yeah, a lot of insane emotional, like, manipulation.
Like, I'm going to kill myself if you don't.
Oh, so many times.
That's the number one. Yeah, I had a friend who was like going through that.
He threatened suicide to me so many times. And I'm a young kid. And right. I feel like also I can't tell anyone and I don't know what to do.
And you feel responsible now for this grown man's life.
And also it was Stockholm syndrome. Like, I was so loyal to him where I wanted to get away so bad. And like, I hated myself for a long time for not having the strength to get away. Mm-hmm. And I thought that me having had a relationship with him, a consensual relationship, even though it's like not really consensual, you know, it's statutory rape. Yeah. And also, I mean, just the fact that even if you were a 30-year-old man and you dated a 17-year-old girl and that happened, but she broke up with you and you just like went your separate ways.
Right. But that's, never heard of that happening.
That didn't happen. You know, this was infatuation, obsession, like swim fan shit.
Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking of that movie.
Yeah.
What did you guys talk about when you would go over his house? Like, what happened?
Legos.
I mean, like,
yeah, I'm like, what the fuck does a 30-year-old say to a 17-year-old?
Like, I read,
you like Spice Girls?
Like, I mean, like, he was really into all of this, like, new age philosophy, and was always like preaching almost like a culty shit to me, and I like ate it up, and I was going through a hard time, so I was really open-minded. And also, like, I was such a book nerd growing up. Like, I was interested in reading, and he thought I was so smart and told me that all the time, you know what I mean? You're so wise beyond your all that fucking bullshit, you know?
So you had sex with him?
Yes.
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was it like? Was it satisfying to you? Did it feel weird? Did he do anything weird looking back at it?
Yeah, I mean, a ton of shit. Like, it feel like thinking about it now is so repulsive to me, because what I thought was, like, you know, at the time, an exciting, loving relationship, I was a 17-year-old
child.
Sex slave.
Yeah.
Legitimately. You like, know? I don't know. It was a lot. I feel like I can't even like talk about the sex stuff. It's too intense for me.
Because you were in a bubble, you didn't realize.
Yeah. I was fully brainwashed.
And I would imagine a part of you kind of feels on cloud nine a little bit, even though like this one section of it is exciting, but then you think about the times you have to lie to people and the times you will have to lie to people because you won't be at Lisa's party, birthday party, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the lying was just constant, especially because of how we were in contact 24/7. You know what I mean? Just the most unhealthy thing. But
you just felt like a prisoner to him?
No, I mean, like, the highs were high because I did feel like half the time I did and half the time I didn't. Probably less than, I was happy much less of the time, because it was constant fighting, and like, he would be so jealous, like, you know, of any time I brought up a male name or friend or any, I mean, just like really, really unhealthy.
What did the first time look like when you tried to break up with him, and what made you want to do that? Like, what gave you the realization of, yeah, I'm going to do this now?
Pretty immediately I tried to end it because I was like, this is wrong and not okay. And like, I can't, I mean, I was just in such a dark place, and then just, you know, he was right back, like always. He would have a lot of freakouts and then a tantrum and then beg for my forgiveness. And like, I would and kind of just pick at me until I classic.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? And then you later, when you finally broke up with him, were you in college?
Yes.
And what was that like?
I mean, we'd had a lot breaks before then and stuff, but like the last.
What made it final?
I had just, I found out like during one of the breaks that he had hooked up with, I mean, this happened more than once, but like a friend and,
like a friend your age,
a little older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this was like not a younger person and I was older at the time, but mm-hmm. Yeah, and just also, I mean, I think I finally just got to the point where I was so exhausted and tired and had been so emotionally beaten down by this person, and had I missed my freedom, I missed friends, I missed.
How long did this go on, your thing with him? Like, even counting the breaks, like between the time you cried in his arms in the parking lot to the last time you broke up with him?
I mean, probably like 5 years.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And there was time also, I mean, like he tried a long time after I ended things the last time, like to constantly trying to contact me for a long time before, like,
oh my
without,
God.
Yeah, that's without me horrifying. Responding. Yeah. And I mean, even years after, like up until like last year, I would still get like attempts at contact. Like that he whoa. Tried, and that was, I don't know, like, how old am I now? 8-9 years ago. Like, so there was, for years, he tried to contact me. Like, and I remember at the time calling the phone company, begging them to block his number, doing thing. I tried to do everything I could without involving an adult. And I just wasn't able to talk to anyone about it.
Do your parents know about this?
Yeah, they know. And I mean, it broke.
What was that like?
Oh, it shattered them. And I
how did you
at the time,
them?
And like, I know, to the day I die, that will be the hardest thing I've ever done, telling them. I wrote it out. And what I did, it was like I was dating someone else during one of the breaks. So that was how I got the strength. Because I just felt like my whole life was a sham. And that, like,
that's a huge, 5 years is a huge chunk.
Yeah.
Of your life, even yeah. though that you were on breaks, there was still that stress of him.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, there was constant stress, and anytime I was dating someone else, he was constantly showing up where I was. And
wow.
And I, even any guy I dated for so long and even years after, I felt like I had to confess this horrible thing that I did. Like, I
you
thought,
felt that you were in the wrong?
I mean, I knew he was a piece of shit, and I didn't quite understand until earlier or till later on, like as an adult and understanding myself and understanding like sexual abuse and stuff like that. But I felt so much shame. Like I felt truly like I had done the worst thing that anyone could do on earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And how did you get past that?
I mean, it was so dark for so long. Like, I eventually started, like, I didn't tell anyone for a couple years, like, not one
shit.
Person.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I was just, like, the heaviest hearted kid. And I just couldn't get away, and I didn't have the strength. But, yeah, that once I started telling a few people in college, and, you know, the breaks would help, and I did have a life in college. But it's funny because like when I would get back with him for like short periods of time, or not even get back, but like start seeing him again, because he would just force his way back into my life. Like my friends would talk about how I would disappear for a few months mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And, when I finally did break up with him, it was like, everyone was just like, you're so different. Like what changed?
Wow.
It
and
was
didn't even
crazy.
Know.
No, like I just looked and was like a different person overnight.
Wow. Because yeah. that's a lot of weight lifted off your shoulders. You, I would think,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Oh, it, but about my parents.
Yeah. Did you tell them before the final breakup?
Yes.
Okay.
So I ended up like getting back with him for a short period after that, which they don't even know about, I don't think. But one time I asked my dad, I was like, can you please tell this person to leave me alone?
Wow.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, really? You're going to get, you think your dad can stop me? Like just shit like that.
The
like,
guy said that?
Yeah.
Ew. Wow.
Yeah.
So wait, so did you write your parents a letter?
What happened was I was dating someone else. So I got the strength from that because like, I felt like I was safe. Like I had fully moved on, you know? And I wrote this all out and I had told the guy and he was really cool about it. And so I wrote it all out. I called my parents and told them, like,
over the phone
that I needed to talk with them, which as if, you know, if anyone ever does that, that shit's about the hit any, the fan.
Something any, really bad's about to happen.
The phrase "we need to talk" like induces a small of heart course. Attack in my body.
To me, if anyone does that, I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just tell me when you need to tell me because it's too.
Why would you scare me like
yes.
that?
But I mean, I had to tell them in order to like carve out the time. I drive home. I start crying. I literally said a prayer out loud. I was full shaking, crying, had aww. Written it all out. I like want to cry talking about it.
You can cry. I've cried many times on this podcast.
And told them, and they were just so stunned and heartbroken. My mom was furious, like, just that I had my dad like was handled it in a way that I didn't foresee at all, just like so kind and gentle because he's kind of like a very brusque man, and I think that ultimately changed my parents' relation, like our whole family's relationship. I know that my brothers know. I've since like had conversations about it with them, like not in detail the last couple years where they were both like really cool about it, but never in detail. I have a hunch that my parents might have said something to my brothers. Mm-hmm.
Did your mom like ask you any questions? Was she trying to dig for more info, or did you tell her everything?
I told them everything, like, and I think they were just so devastated that I had been in such a dark place.
And they had no...
Yeah, and they felt so... Their trust had been broken and just hatred for this man, you know, and that clearly abused his position and me and others, you know.
Was there any desire on your parents' end to press charges?
My parents took my point of view, which was really cool. Like, because what happened, he eventually went to jail and the girl named me because she knew about me. He had pitted this girl against me too.
Oh, ew,
and I
God.
Knew. Yeah. I mean, insane shit that you can't even make up like a movie. But I mean, like when like he started dating her, he got caught with her.
And she was under 18?
Yes. And then he made a big public stance to everyone that they were dating as a way to like save himself because, you know, whatever.
Oh my God.
And he eventually went to jail for that. And the detective, a female detective, like called me and I denied it.
Why?
Because I didn't want any involvement. I was so afraid of public perception. I didn't want to. I also knew like his family member and cared a lot about them. Yeah. And I didn't want to bring any pain to them. And I think that's a big thing with victims is like you don't want to bring discomfort to the people that are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to bring, I thought I was going to bring shame on my family and all this stuff. Like, I mean, it was so shameful to me that I didn't even process that I was a victim. So, you know what I mean?
Because you all just blamed it on yourself.
I totally blamed myself. When I blamed myself in the deepest way. And I did for like truly for the long time. I hated myself because someone sought me out as like a sexual object.
Yeah.
For them, you know?
When did you realize that it wasn't your fault? And that must have been a victorious moment or a weightlifting moment.
I mean, I think it took a long time.
Yeah, like, it's more like a process,
like
not a moment.
Growing
yeah,
older and
there's
talking
no
about
moment
it.
I wish, like now I feel, I'm just like, it took me so long to realize that men are not bad. Like now, and comedy too, like,
that's not helping.
No, I think that
comedy's helping you. I mean, it wasn't helping men. Our perception of men.
It doesn't help the case of men.
I think the opposite, truly. Like, the men that I've met through comedy have restored my faith.
Faith in men. Yeah, there's some amazing men.
Can you provide some names?
I mean, my boyfriend is incredible.
No, your boyfriend's very nice.
There are some amazing men in the comedy community.
I would say there's a few bad apples, just like in any group. But for the most part, it is like the most emotionally generous and sensitive and, you know, up to date with women.
Yeah.
They know women's experiences, and it's nice. It's really,
well, there's a lot of people coming from a lot of different places with very, very jarring experiences that they're bringing to the table. And so we're all kind of like in this position together.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't date anyone for like 3-4 years after that. Because I just associated a relationship to me just meant someone controlling me and making my life hell and taking over my bot. Like, I felt like I had just been brainwashed, you know?
You were.
Yeah, you were.
And you associate a relationship with carrying this weight of shame and guilt and hiding things and all this bullshit. Yeah. Damn. How long is he in jail for? Do you know?
I don't think that long because, I mean, he was only charged for the one girl. Even though there were others, but I mean, he had a great family.
Is he currently in jail?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's up with him now. I think I have no idea.
He's finally stopped trying to contact you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think
because of Google, sorry, if you're a comedian and you put yourself out there in any art form. Yeah,
I mean, like, he's friend requested me, like, probably in the past year on different things, and I always block him and stuff.
Jesus, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
But you said you had a restraining order against him. Have you ever...
No, like, I never had a restraining order. I needed one.
You needed one, but you never got one.
Yeah, I never got anything. I never told anyone.
Nothing, like, legally on paper, on the record.
Not
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Are you angry at him? Like, if you had the chance to see him, I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen because it doesn't sound like that's something that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I would be terrified to see him, not because of like physical harm or anything, just because of like the emotional thing. But yeah, I mean, like, but more it's like moved to an intellectual anger, like, because I spent so many years just like, it was my identity for a long time. That was like the main thing that I thought was that I was about, you know? And like, anytime I would kind of start seeing someone, I felt like it was this thing I had to confess. And it was just like, I thought that's what I was that experience, you know?
So many years of feeling bad and stuff in the like 5 years on and off with that guy. That's a long ass time.
And in your main developmental years.
Yeah. Those years that you,
So, I mean, I'd missed like dating. I missed a lot of shit that like other people learn in those years. And like, I thought like my innocence had been gone. I just thought like I was worthless.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no one. And he told me that too. He'd be like, oh, no one's going to love you. Like,
oh my God.
I mean, just crazy shit.
And it's also interesting to me, like, the fact that you did not want to press charges you didn't want to be involved in that case because you didn't want any more involvement. I hear a lot of people, like, whenever somebody talks about the Cosby case and they say, I can't believe those women didn't say anything, and they blame the women for not speaking up sooner or not. I'm like, you have no fucking idea that woman's story and what happens in that woman's brain and her self-worth that is caused by Bill Cosby.
Sure.
Why the fuck does she want to be in a fucking courtroom with that monster who tainted her life?
Yeah, I mean,
I wish people could understand that.
And just like the way, you know, people say horrible things about those women. And I mean, like, just the thought to me, I was like, I don't want anyone talking about me in any way.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it would break your heart. Like, because you can't control
that. You've
already
gone through the experience, and then to be judged for it is like so crazy. To have had a horrible thing happen to you and then people be awful to you about that is...
What would you say to, we've had some younger women email us and some younger men who have fallen for older women in a position of power.
Yeah.
And I completely get the appeal, but like, what, is there something you wished you'd heard or something that could have helped give you a little more, oh, this is a situation that can sometimes happen this is a red flag. I think this might turn into this. I don't know. Like, it seems to happen so often, a younger person and a person of authority. And it's just, it's so consuming. It just becomes this all consuming thing. Is there anything that you could think of that would have prevented or would prevent someone now from that happening? Or,
yeah, I mean, I think it's simple in that anything that you have to hide, a relationship, you should not do, because there's a reason. There's something dangerous about it if you have to hide. You think when you're super young, because you're a kid and you haven't had a lot of life experience, that someone so much older than you, like two or three life stages ahead of you, can be in love with you. It's not possible to be in love with a kid. You know, yeah. It's that is a sexual predator, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but it's so hard to see that in the moment.
No, you can't.
Because when I was, what was I, 14 in middle school when this happened? Like, I so wished he would have made a move.
Sure.
I would never have read that as anything other than, oh, he's interested.
Yeah, I mean, you just think you're special, that someone, the way, I mean, it sounds so crazy, like a movie, but I was like, oh, this person's willing to risk everything for
me. Of course. I feel like they should teach, they should include that in sex ed or something. Like, when kids are like 12, 13. I mean that conversation about if anybody touches you in a way that's inappropriate, if anybody does, like, you come to, you know, you tell your parents. Like, obviously that's, I get the parents' responsibility to have that conversation. Yeah. But a lot of times, like, when you're in middle school, like, this shit happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it
should be part of a curriculum.
It totally should. And it's happened since the beginning of time. But there's a lot more accessibility with texting and stuff, which is unfortunate. And also, I mean, sex ed in this country is trash anyways. Like, it doesn't cater to women in any way. Men,
they don't talk about female orgasms at all, sex ed. They just talk about the male orgasm,
which is a dangerous thing in itself, because then it's teaching women that sex is for men and pleasure is for men, and you are their source of pleasure. And I mean, and not having a good sex education and talk, the issue with that is when there is anything that goes down that's inappropriate, you don't have the vocabulary or comfort to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think also, like, when we do talk about it, it's very just like sex based. Like, we're talking about these are the parts and they go together and this is how you feel and this, and semen comes out of here. But we don't ever really talk or learn about the actual relationship. What is a healthy relationship? What are things that you should be looking for? Yeah. That's shit that you learn way.
Anyone's ever told me that.
Yeah, I mean,
sex ed, nothing. No one told me that.
This was, stuff that wasn't really talked about until I started doing this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you're right. So it's like, you know, we're so in our late 20s and 30s, and we're just teaching ourselves that by mistakes, by bad experiences, by talking to other people.
I mean, I knew my safety and sanity was being sacrificed, but I didn't have the tools to speak to anyone about it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's
to
like,
save myself.
It feels like, oh, am I the only person that this has ever happened to? And I feel like so many people, like, that's a common theme that we get with letters of, like, duress. It's like, people feel like they're the only person who this harrowing experience has ever happened to, when really it's happened to a ton of people, but we just never voiced it out loud before. So then everyone feels alone and has no tools with which to handle it.
Right.
And your inner, like, world just becomes shattered because of that.
Oh,
it's like,
totally.
If you give a human being the tools to connect and convey their feelings and to talk it out, your fucking life is amazing. Your life could be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I even just moving to New York, because, like, I was from the suburbs and, like, a very conservative area. And even outside of sex, just, like, people don't discuss problems where I'm from. And there's, like, not any discussion of, like, mental illness or any, everything's stigmatized and everyone, it's very Stepford. Everyone doesn't have problems.
What are they afraid of being vulnerable?
I guess.
It always comes back down to that in my head.
But moving to New York was huge for me because I met so many people of different backgrounds, and, like, it's much more urban and sophisticated, and I learned so much so fast. Like, before I even moved here, I didn't know anything about feminism. Like, I thought feminism just meant hating men. And yep. like
and letting your armpit hair grow and yeah. putting a bra.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it. I mean, like, I, as I said before, like, I learned so much just from listening to this podcast every week, like, and just women well,
take
and
it
comedy.
All with a grain of salt because we didn't fact check any of it.
I mean, just the pure sense of discussing something plainly and without yeah. shame is yeah. like the biggest deal for people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we found that out.
Yeah,
and based on how it affects people and it proves their lives.
Yeah, and I mean, how much shit you guys got in the beginning for starting this podcast?
Yeah,
like it was insane, and you guys
did
were
we get
so,
a lot of shit?
Yes,
like what shit?
Just I think for
maybe
you guys,
wait, what if people
like,
said that
I
we
was
don't
like, maybe
haven't
it's
heard
stuff
yet?
That we didn't hear yet.
No,
yeah,
you heard
us.
Everything. I what we, did people we say? Had many discussions about it. Just people would be like, oh, they talk about guys are like,
oh yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Oh, like, they're trying to get a rise.
Well, because we always yes. thought we actually thought the backlash would have been much worse.
Yeah, honestly, I'm shocked. We don't.
I was
get
ready to fight.
Emails or the only when people just say horse shit that I'm like, I can't even take you seriously. Yeah. Like, you should get raped. Your
it
dad would probably kill himself if he found out about your.
But I also think even people that might have said that shit in the beginning, like about the premise,
yeah,
now
and then
are
they look at what happened.
Complete believers, though, yeah. and understand actually like the work that you guys are
which
doing.
Which I like. I like when people assume that it's just some shock value bullshit, right. and then they organically learn, like, oh, this is something so much more meaningful and empowering, and like. And all, but all we're doing is just talking.
I know. I was a guy like when people think that we had planned work to do.
Yeah,
like,
right,
yeah, yeah.
right. I think, but that speaks to how simple, what a simple way that someone's life can improve. Because
yeah.
every time we go to shows and Corinne, like the people listening to this podcast come to the shows, and a lot of times they'll like, when I was in Austin, this kid, Muhammad, hi Muhammad, he was so sweet, and he just like came up to me after the show and just. Like hugged me and like had a tear rolling down
right.
his and we didn't even say we didn't yeah. talk he didn't tell me about his background or anything, but it's like what a simple fucking thing to make another human across the country and across the world like feel okay.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I mean, it's so I think it's so cool. I wish to God I had something like this when I was young to
yeah.
listen to, and just comedy in general, like it's the freest, most fun thing.
Yeah,
and obviously I've done a ton of therapy, and like I'm a this story that I just told you almost feels like it was a different lifetime because
yeah.
I'm such a different person, and like I feel fully healed, and now I have a wonderful relationship, and I'm a comedian, and all these things
and
that I never
it.
Thought oh thank
you
you
are you're so fucking funny and
thank
amazing
so
to watch
much.
On stage. That's amazing. That
well, I think it's even interesting that you chose to like write down what happened to your parents. Like
mm-hmm.
that, just even the fact that you did that, like, is it so hard to like talk about it?
Oh yeah, I mean,
out loud.
I would have never been able to.
Yeah,
do
that's
that.
Like that's like Corinne 101. Write it out.
Yeah.
Like I don't even think I've ever had a conversation in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and I think that this was like this podcast has been like a real tool to fucking talk about stuff because it's so hard.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
so hard to do that. Well, and also, just so we can, you know, end this up on a more fun note.
Yeah,
we
talk about,
it.
Like,
what's
yeah, taking
like,
a shit. Or-
so, like, yeah, so, you know, this is all behind you, and it's something
mm-hmm.
I think you learned from, you grew from. It certainly
sure.
it changed, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
But hopefully, in the end, for the better.
Absolutely.
What, do you have, like, a fun story or something? Is there, like, a story about sex or an incident that was fun that kind of was like the light going back on, like, oh, sex with a man can be fun and enjoyable and carefree. Do you have anything like that?
Oh, I mean, I have a funny story, but it wasn't about like sex being great.
We can talk about that if you want.
No, but I think like when you get to an emotionally healthy place and stuff, I have like, sex is great, you know.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah. It's just, I think it's all, even when you're in a bad state, you know, you can find some gems in there. But yeah, no, this one story with my ex-boyfriend, so embarrassing. This is like a blooper.
Yes.
But we were long distance at the time, and I met his family in Miami for his mom's 50th birthday party. And so I hadn't seen him, obviously, so we're just like banging, and he had all these relatives there, because his mom's Colombian and they were all in town, like so many people. And for whatever reason, like he went down to the beach and didn't have his phone. And all of a sudden I get this gnarly UTI, like one that is so painful that I was full crying and it just came on so fast, oh, like no. in the most pain. And so I'm like, fuck, I have to tell his mom, you know? And we're in this like two, because I didn't have a car and I couldn't. Oh, I needed
and
to
you
go,
couldn't get him.
I needed to go like immediately go to the doctor. I was in so much pain. And so I go tell his mom, who I love and miss and is just like the best person in the world. But, you know, she's like full Colombian. And like I told her, I was like, I need to go to the doctor. Please don't tell anyone, but I'm in so much pain. I need to go now. And there's all these people there and she has to tell me, take me.
Is this during her 50th birthday party?
Not during the party, but like where she's entertaining all these people for the weekend.
Right. Who came out of,
so
out
I was
town.
Like, please don't tell. And I'm in the bedroom cry. I immediately hear just one whisper to one person about it. And then I hear another until, and then another. Until the whole room.
It's like a game of telephone with
sometimes
the whole
family. A whisper is louder than a shout, though, because yes. everyone's talking to have a good time, and then all of a sudden it's like a hush goes over, and you're like, God, something who fucking told someone?
Yeah. And so then, she takes me to the ER, and I'm like, no, I need to go to a clinic, not the ER. You can't go to the ER for a UTI.
Yeah, that's $1,000 UTI.
Yeah, I have been before. It's very expensive. Just go to a clinic.
So roll up to the ER. I'm like, I have a UTI. I'm so embarrassed. But I was literally delirious, full sweat, like in so much pain that I painful. Almost, I couldn't like do anything.
When your
whatever.
Vagina is hurting, nothing else in the world matters except fixing your vagina.
So then like she takes me, I'm so embarrassed. And then like a whole nother car of people of relatives come and
to
I
to the ER
yes.
to support you in your time of need, Blair.
Yes. And I mean, I am never, I still cannot even, but I mean, for them, they have no shame. It's not a big deal to them.
Oh, you got a UTI?
You know what I mean? Like Olay. A UTI and having sex and stuff is not embarrassing to them. Right. So, but I mean, it was just, I was like, all these people came to the ER for my UTI from the birthday party. And this was my first time meeting them.
Could have learned something from their culture, Blair. Come
oh,
on.
I know. Well, now, you know, nothing matters and we're all fucking, so.
Exactly. I'm glad that you finally come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Oh. What a New York state of mind.
I know.
Well, that was amazing.
So where can we find you online? And you have a TV show coming out.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Ladylike on MTV is now coming out on June 13th.
Sweet.
It was supposed to come out this month, but they moved it back, but for a good reason, supposedly. So
Dale Uzednik got the flu.
And then, you know, I'm at Blair Socki, BlairSocci on Twitter, Instagram, everything.
And you co-host Nacho Bitches.
Yeah, come hang out with us tonight.
I know, it's so fun. I'm so excited.
Tonight at 11:15 p.m. at New York Comedy Club, we'll be there.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
I hope it wasn't too serious.
No, it wasn't at all.
Okay.
It was hilarious the entire time. I was laughing, but I felt rude laughing.
Oh. And you were just like it was heartfelt, it was meaningful, and it was charming.
Oh, you're so nice.
Guys, this is another episode of Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
When you say you love, it's hard to take the words that you say. When we're out and about, we go to places where you want to be seen. And if you weren't such a drag to be around, then maybe I'd be by your side. Hey baby, would you wake up for me? Hey baby, why you look so bored?
About boobs. was a lot in that episode. Do you have boobs? Do you know someone with boobs? It's spring. Give yourself a wardrobe refresh with Third Love. Third Love stands behind the product so much that they're willing to let all the Guys We Fuck listeners try their bras for free for 30 days. If you love the bra, keep it and they'll charge your card. If you don't love it, send it back and your card will not be charged. They're really comfy. They're really awesome, simple. They're just a fucking good bra. Buy it. Start your free trial now at thirdlove.com/GWF.